You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maybe on Walker. Pugh.
That'll do it. That will do it. Pugh for Bournemouth. The roof of the Gold Sands is raised. Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Hello and welcome to episode 200 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
Tom, we've reached 200 in terms of audio pods. I think we've probably done a few more because there were some Euro pods back in the day, but 200, huge figure.
Yeah, that is a big number, isn't it? That's making me tired, actually, seeing that number. But yeah, no, 200, and they've all been wonderful, mate. They've all been an absolute pleasure.
If only it was a good celebratory show, but sadly, it's not. Look, we're going to sink our teeth into what happened at Dean Court on Saturday. But before we do that, let's check out the raw reaction from outside the ground. Tix was doing the fan cams.
Here we are outside Dean Court. Unfortunately, a 2-0 loss to Bournemouth in a day that's had spells of wind and rain and sun, but not many spells of Bournemouth good play, really, Tom, was there?
No, I thought they looked most at threat when the lightning hit, I thought, and a bit of thunder. They were too good, I thought. I could see why they're optimistic. They play probably the most front foot football I've seen Tottenham since we've been in the Premier League, both times, to be fair. So I can see why they're enthusiastic. But we had chances, and then we let in a sloppy goal second half defensively, but yeah, I don't think we were good enough today. I don't think their goalkeepers had to make many saves. We had a few off chances, but we didn't do enough with it. Thought the midfield, you can see why we needed them players back.
Yeah.
Don't think we looked quite right, but we were all right. But they just had a little bit too much for us, I think, which was the fear before the game. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit frustrated after that. I think we could have offered a little bit more. I thought a few individual performances weren't quite up to the standard today. And that could have helped us. I think if we played like we did against Liverpool in the opening periods, we could have got a goal and we could have made it hard for them. But as soon as they got the goal, I thought it was quite comfortable for Tottenham. I don't think they'd be coming out of this game 2-0, comfortable win. And I don't want teams to come down here and feel like it's a comfortable win. But I felt like it was for them today.
Tottenham fans singing, we've got our Tottenham back. And without Harry Kane, you did say earlier in the week, to be fair, on another Back in the Net video, check it out, that maybe they would be better without Harry Kane. It certainly seems the case, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's weird because obviously he's one of their best ever players, obviously their best ever striker. But to be fair, I think sometimes you subconsciously think, oh, he'll get us out of trouble.
Yeah.
And it makes you work as better as a team, and I thought they probably do. But equally, having said that, you know, we got a Tottenham back. They never really won anything anyway. Just saying. But no, I can see, as I mentioned, I can see why they're a bit more optimistic. And yeah, they function better as a team. As much as Richarlison is nowhere near as good as Kane,
yeah,
they function better as a team. So I do get that. But yeah, I think we could have threatened them a bit more. I remember their previous away game against Brentford, where they played similarly, but Brentford offered a lot more of a threat at the other end. And I just felt like when Dom got it, he didn't really have a lot of support. I didn't think the wide men were particularly good. I didn't think Semenya was as good as he was previously. I didn't think much of Kluivert, to be honest with you. Flattered to see for me. And yeah, I thought the midfield looked a bit lost.
Yeah.
So yeah, as I expected at this stage of the season, we're not quite there yet. It's going to take a bit of time to get with Andoni's system and the way he wants us to play, and I don't think we're quite there yet. And yeah, I just felt we struggled for large parts. I felt they always looked like they were just a couple of seconds ahead of us in everything that happened during the game. And I never really expected us to get anything out of the game throughout it, and that was a shame. I felt when we bought the subs on, we tried to change things, it never materialised into anything thinking we could put pressure on them. And, you know, they scored on 63 minutes. There was 8 minutes at a time. We had over half an hour.
That's true, yeah.
So it's only 2-0. You get one goal, you're back in the game. And I never felt like we looked like we were going to score and get back in the game. We just never... I think if you were a better man, you would have put 3-0 on more than you were 2-1.
Yeah.
And I think that was the problem today. But we've got bigger fish to fry, I think. If we go to Brentford and try and offer a threat and maybe try and nick a point and then see what happens after the international break. But, yeah, there's a few weird decisions today, I felt, in the selection.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite work. I think defensively, as much as he's not all to blame, someone's got to tell me why Kelly's better than Celestia. I don't see it. I really don't see it. Didn't think it helped us whatsoever. I just don't see how he's a better defender than Celestia. I don't see that at all.
Be interesting to see what he does for Swansea.
Yeah, definitely. I think it might be handy because you might see the likes of Traore, Brooksy get some crucial minutes and then kick us on after the international break. But like I say, hopefully we'll get some bodies back. Seeing Alex Scott's here today. There's a few players here today that are saying they're only a few weeks away.
Okay.
So after the international break, hopefully we'll kick on from here. Probably didn't expect anything today, so it is what it is. But I kind of look back on that West Ham now and think, oh, we could have won that one. But
maybe we should have.
It is what it is. Not too bad.
All right, buddy.
Cheers, Dave.
Good to see you, too. Abby. Hey, Abby, how are you?
Hiya, you all right?
Thanks for coming on.
No worries. You asked for new faces, so I thought I would.
Love new faces. I'm back in the net. Love new faces. what did you think of the game today?
Frustrating. Yeah. It was a bit like, it felt like the Liverpool game again, because we started the same way, and it looked really good. The press looked really good, and they looked a bit kind of not expecting it. Didn't capitalise it like we did against Liverpool, unfortunately. And then it kind of drifted off of that. And then once they got the first goal, I thought still we were in it. But that second just not. It was like the third one at Liverpool. It just completely knocked the wind out of our sails. I thought it didn't feel like we were going to come back after that.
I felt really optimistic before the game. I was making ridiculous predictions of scorelines where Bournemouth were going to come out as a winner. And you know, in reality, Tottenham are a very, very good side.
Yes.
Aren't they?
No. I think it is like it is again. It's like Liverpool. You can tell they've relaxed on the ball. They don't seem flustered really. They don't. Whereas we look a bit, I don't know, like anxious or kind of maybe a bit like we don't have time on the ball like they seem to have time on the ball. And the transitions as well, like us going from defence to attack is slower than them going from defence to attack. They were just there in like two passes already, you know, around the box and threatening. So whereas we just get a bit like, oh, where do I pass to? And there was just a massive hole in our midfield as well. Like it felt like they could just run straight through the middle, which is exactly what it was kind of like at Liverpool as well.
Yeah,
so
completely.
Obviously we're missing people there and hopefully they'll be back after the international break. It's hard to not be like too harsh because we're not really expecting to get much out of these games, but
you're still optimistic, you're still feeling good about the Iriola era.
I think the real kind of moment to judge it will be after, when we get, you know, the window's closed and we can kind of judge our team for what it actually is. Whereas now I kind of feel like when we're bringing on our subs, and I don't feel optimistic when we throw Kiefer on anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still feel like our attack is kind of lacking that final ball. It's not quite clicking in the final bit. We get up, we do some good moves to get to around the box, and then we don't, there's nothing there. We haven't since Stanislas, but like free kicks, corners. I don't feel optimistic at all that we're ever going to score from a corner again. Like, these should be things you're kind of like optimistic about. I don't know, but it's not like we don't have a James Ward-Prowse or anything that West Ham benefited from like the other day. So yeah, it's frustrating, but you know, I'm not too down about it because I didn't best I kind of was hoping for was a draw. I was a bit pessimistic about it, having watched Tottenham the other day all week, and I thought they were much different, you know. And like I said, they just had a better. They were a step above today, so yeah. I can't complain too much. But things to do, I think.
Things to do,
things
indeed.
To do.
So, yeah. Thank you, Abby. That's brilliant. No worries. Thank you so much. Thanks for going on. Hey, Pete.
Hi, doing all right.
You all right, mate? How are you feeling? Another London club we're playing there. You've got to get a train back with this lot as well.
No, I'm in the car today.
Oh, fine. So, that's good then. That's
but
good.
I want to dry out because I was in the East Stand.
Oh, buddy.
Right at the very front row. But some nice steward came along and got me a poncho.
Oh, that's nice. That's
but,
nice.
Oh, dear. Very frustrating today because you see things that you think, right, okay, we're going to put something together here. Here we go.
Yeah.
And it fizzled out. They were very good passing-wise, weren't they, keeping the ball. And got to give them credit to that. Clivert, I was listening to Tom there, and he's saying he didn't rate Clivert. For once, I'm going to disagree with Tom because he's usually very astute. I thought Clivert was good today.
Okay.
And he linked up well with Kirkis.
Yeah.
On that left-hand side. Yeah.
Are you coming home?
Yeah. Who I was disappointed today with was Dom.
Dom Solanke, yeah.
Yeah. The question is, opposition defences got his number?
Ah.
And keep him marked out the game?
Yeah, maybe.
But it is what it is. And a lot of my family are Spurs fans. So I was getting voice messages while I was watching.
Oh, mate, have you listened to them all yet?
No, I'll listen to them tonight when I get home. I'll take some stick and what have you. But hey-ho. I don't know any Brentford supporters, so...
Well, maybe maybe that's us next week. That's
well,
that's
I'm
the
there
one.
Next week. So
yeah,
I'm
I will
back,
see you there.
I'm back next week. I think Bill's at... is it Swansea we're playing?
Yeah, Swansea in the week. Yeah, in the cup.
Bill's going to be there next week. So, anyway.
Fab.
Right.
All right, mate.
Right, okay.
See you soon.
Right, see you later.
Sweet, all the best. Hello, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. I love that top. I need to get that.
It's nice, isn't it?
I really need to get that. So, the game today. What did you think?
2-0. I don't really think it reflects the scoreline. I think it was a game of most chances. Two soft goals.
They were soft, weren't they? Yeah. And actually, when you sort of look on Twitter and you look at sort of little short reports about the goals, they were, the Bournemouth defenders were kind of standing around.
Yeah.
It did feel a little bit like that, almost slow motion, both of them, weren't they?
And because we play such a high line, it's just easy to get behind now. I know we've got fairly good amount of pace with Kelly and Zabani, but I just felt we just kept getting overrun in the midfield as well. And especially with positioning with Aarons and Kirkes. They are good going forward, but I just think position-wise, I just think we're just a bit dodgy in defence at the moment. But it's still promising, it's still good. You know, we've still got players to come back. Just a bit concerned with the midfield of Billing and Rothwell, or Philip and Rothwell. I think we do need a bit of defensive cover. Obviously, we signed Adams, but obviously he's injured at the moment. But it's looking promising. It's just sloppy goals to concede, and it just sucks the atmosphere out. And
it's interesting. I think individually, it sounds like we have got good defenders.
Yeah,
we've got real options in that, especially the centre back pairing. We've got options there.
Yeah.
Yet, the problem is that we're not getting protected from the midfield. I guess.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, definitely. Because Philip isn't defensive minded, and Rothwell likes to go forward. And as soon as you lose a pass, then they're tracking back, and it's just down to defenders just to make cover. Like I say, when Adams comes back in, it would make a big difference. And, Cook is good in terms of defensive duties, but I think he needs another player next to him that can help out. Because if we're going to play attacking, you do need to support the defence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts.
Thanks very
much. All the best. Come on again. Please do. Hey, Ben.
Right.
How you doing, buddy? You okay?
I said it many times last season, I'm deflated again.
Are you?
Yeah. Just everything about today was toothless. I think we were in attack. We didn't do enough.
Okay.
I think, again, Tottenham, they're the better side, and they were more clinical.
Yeah.
And just, I want to address something that Steve just showed me about, in the South Stand, how many Spurs fans, or people that are meant to be Bournemouth fans, in that hospitality thing, the new thing, that were taking photos with the Tottenham players in the South Stand. So you're like mixing with Bournemouth fans,
right?
And they're just there like taking the mick out of us when Billing missed, when we thought he scored at the end of the first half, and just doing all of this, like, and taking photos with players and like filming Spurs end and stuff. I that's just something that I don't quite get. Because I know in American sports you can mix the crowds and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether Bill Foley thinks that or whoever's idea that was.
I would guess, yeah. Just personally, I don't know, but I would guess that it's probably not intentional. And
yeah.
it's probably Spurs fans with a BH postcode,
yeah,
who probably, you know, get enough points just to be able to go to this game, or someone passes them a ticket for this game,
yeah,
which is potentially what happens. But it will be something I'm sure that the club will look into. I know, yeah, that they've looked into it before. Yeah. Talk to me about the people that came in today. So we had Kelly come in and we had Clivett come in. Now, how do you feel about those two? How do they get on?
I can't see any reason about why Lloyd Kelly is better than Senesi. There is no indicator. Senesi, he always looks composed. He always, you know, he's the nitty gritty defender that he's always been. And Kelly, he just didn't do anything. I feel like he kind of left us too exposed. And there was one point where he was charging up and was like ended up at almost like a left wing spot.
Yeah.
And he's meant to be playing at centre back. If he's at left back, then maybe that's excusable. Cliver, I think he did all right. Bit of direct running, he was okay. But yeah, again, and when Traore got subbed on, why he was played on the left, I don't quite understand,
yeah,
because he's better centrally. We saw that against Liverpool for his 5-10 minute cameo, and then yeah, it's just, I feel like it was just poor management overall from us today. I think Senesi should have started, Traore should have started, and yeah, I do think we need help alongside Solanke, because I feel like if he's the main focal point of the team, I don't think that quite suits him. I still want him to start, but if we have somebody like Patson Daka that we've been linked with, whether we get him or not, I don't know,
yeah,
but somebody that can complement him, that's got the pace in behind and can do some stuff that maybe he can't do as well, then that will alleviate some pressure off him and then he can play better. But
okay,
yeah, that's what I think.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben.
All right, cool.
All the best, buddy. Good to see you. Hi, Andy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you doing?
All right. Yeah, good. You're always very astute with your views. Lay
Not
it on me.
I hear that. I think we need a ball winner, don't we? The times in that game where Bissouma was just the best player on the pitch, and by extension, that meant Maddison had space and they could run in behind, and they just dominated us in that part of the field. Christie and Rothwell, they can be quite similar sorts of player,
yeah,
but neither of them is a ball winner. And so until we've got that sitting midfielder shielding the back four, teams are going to be able to take advantage of us, but certainly the good teams. And I think you only had to look today. We were very aggressive at times. It's quite enjoyable to watch, but the ball still moves faster than any player. And when Tottenham got their one-touch passing going, we try it on occasion, but there were times, even at 2-0, when they're managing the game, they're knocking it around really, really easy. And let's be fair, it's good to watch. And Liverpool,
yeah,
did it last week. World-class players with good touch will always get past better decent players like we've got.
Yeah.
So until we've got that, I don't think we're going to be able to compete in the upper echelons of the table. I think we've got enough to beat some of the weaker teams, but without a ball winner and the ability to get around players, little triangles here and there, I think we're still going to be battling against the better teams.
And I'll just push you on weaker teams. We got Swansea coming up midweek in the Cup, and then we've got Brentford. Can we expect something in either of those games, do you think?
Well, I hope so, because I'm going to both of them. Swansea, it'll be interesting to see what sort of rotation happens with the squad,
yeah,
stretched already. He'll have to play some of the people who've played today, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll be intrigued to see how that goes. Brentford, I'm not convinced. Brentford, I know they've had a reasonably solid start to the season. I don't think they're going to be quite as good as last year. I'm fancy just to get a point there next week, maybe. What I do like about the way we're playing now is we're playing with a little bit more physicality. Semenyo, I'm not sure, sometimes he knows what he's going to do at the end of his runs, but he does play with a little bit of directness and a little bit of physicality that we have on occasions lacked. Brentford will play with that physicality. Hopefully,
yeah,
we can go there and at least match them, whereas last year we sort of sat off them and let them just run that game.
Yeah, agreed. Brilliant, Andy. Thank
right,
you so much
good
coming on, mate.
Take
good
you.
To see you.
Cheers, cheers,
thank you.
All right, I don't
hey.
Know why I'm laughing.
No,
not
I don't know why you're laughing either. You should be on here crying, quite
no.
frankly. It's early in the season. We're allowed a few smiles and giggles right now. Obviously, if this continues, we won't. But it's not going to continue, is it?
Season doesn't start until after the international break,
that's
I
right.
don't think. That's what's in my mind.
That's what everyone else is saying.
I was hoping today that Tottenham not lost might throw in one of their stupid performances where they don't win the Premier League or make Champions League and they'll lose. And
yeah,
that didn't quite happen. They look more organised. They've
Definitely.
Got a manager that's not got an ego, and they were very good, and we allowed them absolute acres in centre midfield on
yeah.
that turnover of the ball. And two good goals, two soft goals from our point of view, but two good goals. And James Maddison was very, very good.
Excellent, especially in like all the dead ball positions as well. He was quite
yeah.
good good. And it's interesting, I've spoken to different people, Kurt, and you know, some people have said to me, oh, the defence weren't great. And then other people said, well, that's because the midfield weren't great, and so, you know, the defence had too much to do. And then other people were saying, well, we had nothing up front, no clinicality.
No.
So, you know, we're coming to the end of the transfer window. Where is your priority position for you? Where do you think it should be?
Where it started. Want a striker.
Okay.
Want a striker. Dom has a part to play in this team. Doesn't do enough in front of goal. At times, we probably don't create enough either, but there's opportunities on a wet day where he can hit the ball and he doesn't. He passes it when he's directly in front of it, 18, 19 yards out. And I just think we need a striker to put a little bit of pressure on Dom.
Yeah.
We need to make sure his position's not guaranteed anymore. And maybe that'll improve him a little bit more in front of goal. So, need a striker, need to get Tyler Adams back and some more players back, because players like Tavernier not in this team is massively detrimental to us. Dangu Itara's directness, and there is effort in there. I mean, I think we're okay the first 15 minutes and of either half.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of falls away a little bit. And I think it's just new.
Yeah.
Andoni's trying to drill it in. The squad's probably not had this sort of coaching for a few years. And I'm confident, I keep saying, I said the same at Liverpool, it will come together.
Yeah.
Just need to see if we can get something at Brentford, get players back fit, maybe one or two more in the next 6 days. And I'm sure we'll still finish quite well in this season.
So Bournemouth went down 2-0 at home to Spurs. It was live on TNT Sport. It was one of those annoying half past 12 kickoffs, which I really don't like, because it just puts you in a rush beforehand. I mean, usually my match day routine starts about 11 o'clock if it's a 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So technically that means I'm starting at 8:30 when I'm still in bed. That's not right. However, yeah, 12:30 kickoff, and it was a game that had lots to talk about off the pitch as well, with the weather, like, alone. Absolutely crazy scenes at Dean Court, with thunder, lightning, sun, rain, wind, the lot. But ultimately, it was a match between two teams that one of them was quality and the other is still finding their feet. I tell you what, mate, really, really frustrating at times, but I'm trying to temper my emotion by realising that we've got so many players out.
Mm.
We're still finding our feet. Rome wasn't built in the day. But in the meantime, there are still some frustrations. I suppose that's the natural thing, right?
Yeah, of course. I think we look back, Tottenham at home last season, and we threw that game away. We were 2-0 up and we were already annoyed about that. And I think going to the previous week, we lost 9-0 at Liverpool. This time we lost 3-1. So you should be a lot more optimistic because there's clear improvements. But what also ends up happening is you start going, oh, what if? Because we were quite... You've only got to look at the West Ham game. I mean, West Ham were top of the league for a time over the weekend, and the only team they haven't beat this season was ourselves. Mm. But after that game, most people go, oh, we could have won that. Yeah. So that's just the life of a football fan, mate. But, you know, looking at it now and reflecting a bit more a few days after the event, I think the fact of the matter was they had a bit too much quality for us. They were more clinical in both boxes. They've got better players. It's all the things I'm saying are what you'd kind of expect from Tottenham v Bournemouth at this moment, I would say. That, you know, both teams play some decent football, both had opportunities in the game, but, you know, the quality shone in the end, and they just had a little bit too much for us. They just had an extra gear to go up. And yeah, and we all know that it's hard to implement a new system and a new style when you've got some real key players out as well, which hasn't helped us. But what I will say to Tottenham's credit is they're also going under a new project and a new style, and lost their main focal point, and they're adapting very, very quickly. So massive credit to them and the manager.
I think the difference for them is their focal point, who everything seemed to go for on Saturday, was fit and has hit the ground running with them, whereas our focal point, I'm not really too sure where it is, but it's clear that we're missing a certain player at a certain position. When Jefferson left, Tyler Adams coming in, not fit yet. I think he's going to be key for us this season, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later on. Well, we're pleased to announce that this season, the Back of the Net is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Bournemouth fixture over the 23-24 season.
And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter whether you're based in Bournemouth, Barnsley, Birmingham, wherever, you can catch every single minute of the action.
Keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that put you a little bit closer to the action.
Now, of course, this weekend, Cherries faced Tottenham. It was actually live on TNT. So if you weren't at a ground, we hope you watched it at your local Green King Sport Pub. And I've got to say, mate, I got a few texts on Saturday. Got one from Layla. I got one from Lucy. I got one from someone else saying, Sam, like, your face is on TV in the concourse.
Oh, I got told that as well, yeah. And I just started going, where's mine? Because I didn't get that gig. So
Rich Neal was also on TNT Sport being interviewed, I think, by Jules Breach. Jules? Yeah, Jules, yeah, she's really good. One thing I've noticed with TNT Sport is that BT Sport did this when they sort of came into the Premier League sporting coverage arena. They sort of tried to mix it up, and they were broadcasting from so many different areas within the state. So I was looking at TNT Sport on my phone about 11:30 when it started pissing down. I'm not going to get out of the car yet.
Yeah.
And Crouchy and Joe Cole were doing keepy uppies in the Bournemouth changing room.
Brilliant.
No word of a lie. But... And then, you know, they're filming in the concourse, they're filming in the tunnel, they're filming in all sorts of different areas. Then Jules Breach is outside the stadium, getting loads of different vox pops from Bournemouth fans. And yeah, in terms of the coverage, they are certainly bringing something else to the game. But, you know, I wasn't even sure whether the game was going on at one point, mate, because everyone seemed to have on their phones notifications that the game is postponed.
I know. I stood there and I was like, you're right, mate, I saw you. And then you went, game's off. Well, no, it's mate. Game's off. There was like, game's off. So what's going on there? And was it, I'm not sure exactly, did it get hacked or something, the BBC, or something weird happened? And it just come up as like a notification, then it postponed. Yeah. Was it BBC?
Well, it's weird. I think this is the way it works in football media. I don't know, but there's a central, like, source that pumps out the basic information, like all the match action.
Yeah.
This player played a left footed pass to this player, and these scores from outside the box, and that gets fed into certain outlets like BBC, Sky, etc. They've also got their own people there to do some extra, you know, coverage, I'm sure. But I've got a feeling that someone who was running that just accidentally hit the wrong button or put out a thing or got hacked. So Sky Sports, like football app, had it, BBC Sport had it, but because people have got their notifications on, are getting these updates, and then, oh yeah, game's off, where there's like 10,000 people in the crowd already. Yeah. So I saw you in the concourse, you were like, what?
I was about to queue for another party. I thought, well, I wasn't there then. But and I think when you see that notification, then you look out and see the heavens open, you get a tiny bit of that. But you also think, really? Could it really? And then I started thinking, oh, is there some sort of traffic problem? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, ended up being nothing.
We've had it postponed for stadium damage before at Forest. We've had it.
Worked out all right, didn't it?
Yeah, worked out all right. And I thought, well, a little bit of a downpour, game's off. But anyway, not the case. So 11:30 then, teams come out, and this is what we got then. So for those watching on YouTube, you can see the teams here, so I'll talk you through it. Neto, from right to left at the back, Aarons, Zabani, Kelly, Kirkes, then Christian Rothwell just in front with Billing, just in front of them in that kind of triangle. Clivert on the left, Semenyo on the right, Solanke up top. For them, James Maddison was starting after rumours of him being out, and it turned out that he was the pivotal figure for them. I think we can actually pick out a number of players for Spurs and great games, and we will do throughout. We'll try to be neutral. But when you see that, so the first thing I always do, Tom, is look at the starting 11.
Of course.
Right. And then I think, oh, Kelly's in. Senesi must be injured. Scroll down. Oh, he's on the bench.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, maybe he's got a slight knock or something. But as it transpires, it was for tactical reasons. And in hindsight, I'm looking back at that thinking, oh, God, that was a bad decision.
It was. You can't argue it when you lose a game 2-0. I guess I can see it to a degree in terms of what Maddison's ended up saying, that it was a pace thing. And Kelly's got the pace over Senesi. It didn't end up working. Actually, I wasn't too. I think in the preview I said we'd go on change. Obviously, got that one wrong. And Clivert got the nod on the left, which I wasn't as surprised about. I thought that was. I think we discussed that in the preview. Kind of that was one I thought maybe he might give him a go over Anthony. Another one that people might disagree. I'm sure go into it. I don't think worked at all. And for them, I changed Maddison because we heard about the knock, but they were actually unchanged, weren't they? As the game went on, then changes for me didn't work whatsoever. I thought both changes were. And I'll go into why, because I think there is this perception that Clivert done okay, and he probably did, but there's reasons why I think it didn't work personally. And it was, you know, you're there to make big calls as a manager, and if we go and get something out of that game, you go, what a genius putting Kelly. Yeah. It just is what it is. It just didn't work, and he's got a, as a new manager as well, he hasn't really seen Kelly because he didn't really do pre-season. And you could also say that when he brought Semenya on, when he hadn't seen him before because he wasn't in pre-season, and look how well that's turned out. Yeah. So you've got to try these things at certain stages. And I guess from his point of view, he thought, we might lack a bit of pace in the back. Kenny's fit now. Let's see how he gets on with Zabani.
He's got this kind of way about him that's very chilled out vibe, almost pedestrian at times, but often his pace gets him out of trouble. And sometimes I see these kind of lazy passes or maybe overhit passes, just weight-wise. He's firing balls at well, there was one at Milos Kerkez that was fired way too far. Yet. You know, you look at how Senesi does in a game, and I just think he rarely puts a foot wrong. So that's one thing that maybe they were just thinking with Heung-min Son on the pitch and some of the pace they've got, he would be better to deal with it, but didn't.
No. Well, no, and I think the only thing you could probably... that I would, if I tried to go for Kelly, is like we mentioned, that he's better in a foot race than Celesti. But to be honest with you, let's put it out there, Lloyd Kelly's not the reason we lost this football match.
100%.
And Lloyd Kelly hasn't suddenly turned into an awful footballer. I don't see, just my opinion, I don't see how he's a better defender than Senesi in any way, really. Because yes, he's got more pace, but I don't think he's got more pace in his head. Senesi reads the game far better, in my opinion, than... Obviously, the goals aren't really anyone's particular fault. No. But I think, okay, you've got pace, but then people ghosting past him anyway because they were a step quicker in the head. So did it really matter? I don't think his pace got us out of trouble too many times in the game because of the way they played it. But it wasn't like he was the only one that had an under-par game or anything. But I think when there's an obvious change and an alarming change in terms of the lineups, you're going to focus on it a little bit more. It's a weird one. I think I spoke to you about it, but every manager, when Lloyd Kenny's fit, Lloyd Kenny plays.
There's got to be a reason.
There's got to be a reason for it. They
and that's the same as Adam Smith, who's had his criticism for years. He's always played.
Yes, there's got to be a reason for it. And maybe pace is a big factor. And don't be wrong, he's got quality as well. He's not just pace. But for last season, probably, most evidently, because he had a lot of quality in the Championship. I think in the Premier League, the first time back, I didn't see it last season. I felt
Chelsea,
just haven't really seen this kind of level of quality from him. I don't think the odd injury, the odd time playing left back, hasn't helped his progression, in my opinion. But and I certainly wouldn't like to let Lloyd go. But for me, it was a strange call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, let's talk about what happened then. I mean, the first moment of madness. You, in the Telegram group, we'll talk about Telegram later on how you can get involved in it, by the way.
Yeah.
You said that you thought Neto had looked shaky at times, and that was conveyed in the 14th minute when he somehow just gives the ball. I mean, why? Obviously, we're looking to play it out from the back whenever we can, but he played it straight to one of their players who then we nearly counter through Son. However, he manages to recover and save. But oh my goodness me, that was that could have been easily 1-0 down thanks to the keeper. And there's been a few moments like that over the last year or so where I always looked at him thinking, ooh, shaky.
I love Neto, and I think the leadership he brings, and he's a good quality goalkeeper. But there's with goalkeepers, at the end of the day, if you make an error, if it's punished, you'll never really end of it. I do feel like back in the last season and start of this season, he's made some errors, but they haven't been punished.
Mm.
And I do wonder if they're... I mean, I'm hoping I'm completely wrong. But I do wonder, because he's clearly our best goalkeeper, by the way, if there'll be a spell where some of these errors get punished and we'll start looking at him a little bit. Just in the general game, I think there's a few moments, oh, God, what's he doing there? Whether it's with his feet, whether it's a save that looks a bit unorthodox, and just... there's just a few little moments. Nothing to say we need a keeper or we need a drop or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, it was just something that I noticed, like you say, with that as well. And we'll get on to the first goal. It's not an error. Mm. It's not the best goalkeeping to try and save it, is it?
No, it's very difficult because the ball's played through by Saar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Maddison was running onto it, and I wasn't sure what he was going to do, but he's got the slightest touch. And like I said on the vlog, it sort of reminded me of their goal last week for Man United, where Curtis Davis got the slightest of touches. I think it went down as an own goal in the end. But, and he just managed to... I don't know, because in my mind, if I was Neto, I would expect James Maddison to be going to my left, and he didn't. He sort of let the ball carry on its trajectory and just added a little bit more.
It's not an error.
It's so hard.
It's definitely not an error. No. And that goal is not down to Neto at all. All I'm saying is, would a top quality goalkeeper might do better? It's just what I'm pointing out. I'm not saying that's an error at all. But yeah, like you say, mate, he ghosted through pretty comfortably. It was a very, very clever pass from Saar. It was, and it was perfectly timed run, wasn't it? But yeah, that's what was happening all game. Maddison is their best player. Mm. Our weakness at the moment is in the middle of the pitch, and it was so evident.
I found it funny the way the North Stand were singing, "Southgate's right, you're in shites," to him when he's clearly unbelievable and now their best player. And it was nice to see throughout the game him having a little bit of banter with the home fans in the North Stand. I say home fans in the North Stand. There are also some Spurs fans. What is going on? It's happening all the time when we play the top six sides. In the South Stand, there were Spurs fans in there. Of course, like hospitality people going in there. Even the ball boys were celebrating when Spurs scored. What is going on, Nate? It seems to be that fewer and fewer Bournemouth fans are actually watching their own team now.
Yeah, I know. I do believe the ball boy plays for us at the young age and is a Tottenham fan. Suppose that's, yeah, difficult if he's a ball boy. But, it just happens all the time. Then it's not going to stop, in my opinion. I think it's quite easy. I think in terms of what stewards kind of there to do, surely one of the things is pick up the seat number and report back to someone that's in the wrong stand, surely.
One day it's going to kick off. There's going to be a fight and it's going to be reported nationally in the press, and it's not going to be a good look on our club. We need to all do our bit in terms of reporting seat numbers. Whether anyone did or not, I don't know. But anyway, you can always comfort yourself with a half and half scarf, mate.
And I saw them before the game, actually, just on the side, weren't they? Nice little half and half. To remember the day that we lost 2-0 to Tottenham. What a memory that would be to have as a scarf. Yeah, weird, don't get that either, but there you go. That's kind of the way we seem to be going down at the moment. But yeah, it's just, I think, like you said, it's a good point about, you know, it could kick off sometime when you have your finger safety stuff with fans in the wrong stands. Yeah. But yeah, for me, I've just always thought of it probably a bit too sentimentally, but I know people that can't get to games, really struggle to get to games, can't go with a friend or family member that they've been going with for years, and it potentially might be because the away fans got your seat and because they've got a bit of that. So yeah, I'm not a fan of it, mate, but yes, don't feel like it's going to stop anytime soon, but all you can do is...
Right, what's scary is that in the Premier League, we've got the lowest amount of hospitality seats as a ratio to match-going fans. If they're looking to increase it even further, in my mind, that's alienating fans from our club. There are a lot of fans that are feeling a little bit alienated, and they've got the right amount of points to watch their team in the Ted McDougall stand, but they can't because the cheapest seat is £139. It's just, in the same breath, I can understand that there's a bigger picture here, and they need to monetize everything they've got in order to have the funds to build a stadium that then is inclusive for all. So they at the moment, they're trying to do everything they can to fund that, I'm sure, by squeezing every last drop out of the stadium, like we said before. So I can understand it. I just hope that the people that have been supporting going to the games all these years, in the 3 years that they get frozen out, don't lose the love of their club and decide, actually, I can't be bothered. But we've gone off on a tangent. Spurs look classy. Spurs did look classy all over the pitch. And we did lack, in my mind, a little bit of a cutting edge. There was some really good sort of build-up moments. Yeah. But really, I mean, we can see the shots chalkboard there. I mean, if you have a look at it, it looks like we registered lots of shots, but they never really troubled the keeper, did they?
I can't remember the goalie making a really, really good save.
We had a few moments, but they were few and far between. But I just found any time we did get into that last third, we lost our heads a little bit. And, you know, the build-up play was all right, but when it came to the crunch... Mm-hmm. We just weren't on it. And, you know, that's shown with, like, Phillips' shot just before half-time. There were Semenya had an effort which was well blocked. I think there was a header at the far post, I think, again, by Phillip, that didn't really test the keeper. So we were getting into the position.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, we just...
Yeah, didn't have that cutting edge. Some of the build-up players, you say, mate, was quite nice, and you thought, right, we're getting somewhere, and then it kind of broke down. Probably credit to Tottenham, they defended it quite well, got their bodies in the way. But yeah, again, as I feel like I've been saying for ever since we started the channel, mate, Dom Solanke is quite isolated at times. I don't think it's helping. Like, it all goes back to this midfield issue, in my opinion, because Phillips too deep, but he's being told to be deeper. It's not his fault. He's being asked to play slightly more reserved, and we all know, we've seen it enough with Phil, that he's far more, he's only really effective if he's further up the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he's not doing that role, we struggle. But then can Christie do a deeper role? Probably not. So it's really difficult to get the balance in there. He's obviously trying to change it at half time, bring Lewis on, and that's good to have him back. But yeah, it's really difficult to get that balance with that three, because I would say all three of them, none of them are playing their natural position. There's three in the middle of the park.
And when you've got a player for them that is playing in the perfect position for him, where everything's going through him, then he just completely dominated. I tell you what, there was that moment on, what was it, about 35 minutes or so, when Semenyo, at the time I thought there was a foul on the edge of their box, and then they broke. And this is what obviously happens when you commit so many players forward to your attacks. Whenever they get the ball, there is going to be that risk. And Spurs nearly did punish us. Harold Charlison didn't score.
What's the job?
I don't know. Probably because it is a
Kirk has done really well. Didn't need to get
he did well.
And kind of threw it away. But yeah, I don't know how that's not. That's dangerous, man. I mean, it's difficult to see on the. It's Romero, isn't it, that makes the tackle on the edge of their box on Semenyo. Very, very, the way he's tackled, I think that's more dangerous than the studs up for me. That scissor action.
Do you think if they'd scored, VAR would have looked
it's
at
true. It's a good point.
I really hope they would have.
It's a good point. I don't want to call for red cards, but I'm just surprised it wasn't really like looked at and maybe thought, well, that's got to be a foul. I'm surprised I haven't gone, look, you missed a clear foul there. It's a bit dangerous. Maybe give him a booking at least, and Bournemouth should have a free kick there. Unless I know everyone's talking about the fact that there's a case that they go down 10 men there. But there's also a case that no one's really mentioned. We've got a free kick right on the edge of the box. I know we're not brilliant at set pieces, but it's a good position of a free kick. It was just frustrating.
I did notice, actually, when... Who did Man United play this weekend? Forrest, was it?
Yes.
I saw Fernandes. I saw him try to do what Phil Bill did to Kiefer Moore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with one of those free kicks from that exact angle.
Yeah,
well, didn't quite work.
No, you can try and replicate.
But you know what? We should have had a free kick there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. We managed to get away with it. Philip had that chance before half-time.
I think I said to you at the break, mate, I think it was on the vlog, that was the thing. I didn't think we were awful.
No.
But was I happy 1-0 down? I'm relieved, actually, that it's only one. Even though we had a few little chances, like you say, a bit of a flash run across, I was kind of relieved. And then, don't know if it was an injury or a bit tactical, but obviously Chuck Lewis on. And just want to say, without him being brilliant, I thought he looked pretty sharp for a guy that's been injured. I thought he was fine on the ball. Again, he's not a crushing defensive midfield player. But yeah, it was nice seeing him back anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, he came off at the expense of Jerry Rothwell, who... I don't know whether there was an injury or whatever, but he wasn't quite at it. And you could say that he was at fault for, partly at fault for their goal that they did score. The second half, tempo-wise, was a lot better, I thought. Yeah, we started well, but without really any end products. I know that Semenyo had that shot that he kind of, he got his left foot around it, and it nearly troubled the keeper, but just went to the side netting, as you said. Later on in the game, Anthony comes on and like a weak shot on goal. But there, you know, there were a few moments in the half where I thought, we're actually like we're looking better and we're looking sharper. But then what happens is we have a break in play, which I've said this on the fan cams on the vlog. That's what happened at Liverpool. Just this break in momentum, this shift where there's a few changes. There's quite a few, I think, for either side.
Yes,
because they bring on Perisic, Højbjerg, but also then we bring on Anthony and Traore.
Yeah, which at the time felt like good subs for
me. Yeah, that's
we all know everyone was screaming for Traore to start because of how good he was at Anfield. I thought he was hopeless when he came on. Yeah. It's a weird one with Traore, isn't it? He seems like he either changes the game or he doesn't really do anything. And it didn't work for Jane. I think the main thing was, I think Andoni said this, didn't he, that I shouldn't have taken Ryan Christie off. I wanted to be a bit more offensive.
And I was surprised he was so upfront about that.
Yeah,
I think Tom Crocker from The Echo reported that you don't tend to get such upfront honesty from managers on decisions so quickly after, but it was a regret of his, and he felt that Cherries were worse off after he did. And
yeah.
Can I just talk about that pirouette that he did?
Oh,
that
brilliant.
From like Neto's, or was it like a goal kick or something? It looked like it was going out of play.
Oh, brilliant.
And then unbelievable. That was in the first half, but that was absolutely
Ryan Cristiano.
I thought that
he
works so hard.
Can we just, he had a shot on target.
And Match of the Day must have shown it, right?
Nope. Ryan, he gets fine. He's probably got there, hasn't he? With the wife and kids. He's gone, I had a shot on target today. They go, no, you didn't, Ryan. Don't be ridiculous. Watch it. Didn't show it. But no, he was really, really good. I think it was the Lorient game he couldn't play.
Yeah.
He had like a slight issue, didn't he, at the end of pre-season. So I think he is being careful with him, and he presses so hard, works so hard. So I think he thought, I'll take him off. I want to kind of keep Semenyo and Billing on. They got more of a goal threat. And I thought it funny, at the time, everyone's going to get Traore on.
Yeah.
And I thought, people have made this thing about, I'm just going to go into the Kluivert. Obviously, he got his first start. And people have said, which I get, well, Kluivert was quite good. He's one of the typical players that he dribbles at people, so you think he's playing really well. I don't think enough people have spoke about the fact, I talked about this with my dad, actually, that we were getting our joy, particularly in the first half, on that right-hand side with Aarons and Semenyo. Even though Kerkez was brilliant, we said, about the clearance off the line, he couldn't get forward enough because he didn't have any link-up with the wide man. Do you remember last season when Zamora and Anthony, you know, it was always really good, and then suddenly Anthony, you go, oh, Anthony's not playing very well, you drop him, and then Zamora's not as good.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anthony, I think, gets a lot of criticism because maybe he's not as good on the eye as your Kluiverts and other people, with Tara and stuff, when they're fit. But their left-back's never as good. They're never as good as Anthony, because Anthony's very clever at linking.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's to be all and end all, because he needs to produce more, and he hasn't been good in the first two games, really, for his standards. But I felt like, as much as Kluivert wasn't bad, and he tries to do things and plays off the cuff a little bit, I think we lost a lot from Kerkez. But I really do. I don't think the balance looked right on that side, and I think it was quite obvious that Aarons and Semenyo was more of a threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got bringing Anthony on for Kluivert, and like I said, I got Traore coming on because of how good he was off the bench the week prior.
I did like some things that Kluivert did. I actually quite liked
I like his direction. Directness.
You know, there was this marauding run he went on in the first half where he basically started from the left wing position, but then ran diagonally across the pitch, like almost to the right apex of the penalty area. And I was thinking, like, if you're a right back for Spurs, what on earth do you do if he's making that run? Do you, you know, do you go with him? It must confuse. And like, we create a chance at the end of it. And I sort of like that randomness. But you're right. I don't think. I mean, that big chance that we had with Phil Bill, that actually came. I thought that Kluivert passed to him. It wasn't. It was a shot that deflected to Phil Bill.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be a good player for us and key for us, because I think he's going to offer a lot. I think he will have goals in him. And I like him. It's his first start. It was just a point that I hadn't seen from Fankhead stuff really discussed, that I felt like it took a little bit away from Kerkez going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because there was less of a link. Because I don't think Kluivert's as much that sort of player, which is fine. You want your wingers to be different. But he's not someone that I can see linking up that much. He's a bit like Dembele was. He's better than Dembele, but a bit like what he was. So I kind of got, and put it this way, I thought Kluivert done okay. Do I expect him to start in the next league game? No. And that kind of says, to me, I don't think he'll start now. I think he'll look at him and think, I preferred what we have with Jaden. But yeah, like I say, I thought the subs were good. It just weirdly, and fair play for Ryan Doady for saying it, it didn't transpire and they scored straight away.
Yeah, and it's and again, like I said, a moment of significant change in the match, and it sees us concede immediately afterwards. And like, you know, we've talked about Lloyd Kelly and the fact that we don't think any goals are direct, but the replay makes it look really bad because there's an angle where Kelly looks like he should clear it, and then out of nowhere Kulusevski then just ghosts in and manages to get that deft touch on it. But it was a good bit of play with Udogi. You pointed out on the preview, pulled it back, and then really nice touch. But there was one replay that does make Lloyd look quite front-footed, I've got to say. But it wasn't just him.
No, because Kulusevski's come from that right side, so maybe Kerkez could do a little bit more.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
There's loads of things that happen for that goal, for sure. But yeah, it was a real killer, because like you say, that we felt like we were doing all right. We made the subs to try and impact it more.
And then
here we go. It was a bit like you said, at Anfield, they got sent off, right? Here we go. And yeah, so it was a bit of a killer. And then you know that we're scrambling a little bit because the subs aren't the level that we want to be. That's no disrespect to the subs, but you think, oh, now we're just going to bring players on kind of just to see what happens. It's not really any sort of approach because we haven't got the bodies. But yeah, it was frustrating. I think as soon as they made a 2-0, I thought, we probably should just get out of it now, because I felt like it was more likely they were going to go third.
In the second half, though, I did think that Semenyo was a really
brilliant,
bright spark. And on Telegram, we'll talk about it later, as I say, but you gave him your man of the match, and I completely agree, because it's just the way he almost bullies players, and he barges into him. He uses his strength to his advantage, and he wins the ball back, and then he goes on a run. There was that run where the referee actually quite correctly pulled it back for a free kick, but he nearly set us through then. And there's a directness about him that I really, really like. And those are the kind of players that really get fans up for when you see players actually playing for the shirt. And I think but like you said, I think he came off 70 minutes or so.
Yeah.
He sort of ran out of steam a little bit. And you would if you play like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, another player that he obviously missed all the preseason. So, and the way he works, I genuinely didn't realise the strength he had. It's the way he kind of wins the ball back, gets his body in front. And I want to put my hand up, because I remember at the start of the season, we were kind of going through players, and I went, it seems like we haven't seen much of him yet, but it feels like he's just like, is it an upgrade on Jamal Lowe, really? Yes, it is. We hadn't seen enough of him. He feels like a new signing. I didn't think he was this good. I don't think anyone did, because before the start of the season, no one was ever talking about him in anyone's best 11s.
No,
no one mentioned him. He's been different class. I'd probably say him and Kirkes, BR two, three games, but they'd be our two best players. I love what Semenya brings. Be interesting to see, you know, if we're looking to maybe Resolanki, say, for the cup and stuff. I wonder if Semenya could be a handful up top.
I'd love to see him there. What?
Yeah, it'd be worth a go. I love him wide. You don't need to change it, but that's what the cup's there for. Maybe give him a little go up there. Maybe you can go in the cup and you go, hang on, let's play 4-4-2. Let's put him with Dom or whatever. But yeah, I like what he brings. And as long as he stays fit, I think he's going to feel like another new signing, mate. So yeah, really impressed with him again. I can't remember. I might be wrong, so you might remember. Did they name a man of the match in the stadium? Because I can't remember hearing it.
No, I can't.
I can't remember. Do they not do it when it's on telly because the telly do one?
Possibly.
Maybe. But I can't remember hearing it. But I thought, I put a poll up on our Instagram, and there's different polls you see, obviously, about Man of the Match, and I didn't see anyone say anything other than Semenyo, to be honest with you.
Statistically, who do you think that who scored put as the Man of the Match statistically?
For us?
Yeah.
For us, Semenyo would definitely be up there. Semenyo would be up there. Who else would be up there? Let me just try and think. I think Aaron's done quite well.
Well, statistically, it was Zabanyi.
Yes, that's not... I said that on bloody Telegram.
He did, and that's because of the blocks he made. And
I thought, as I said, when I put the Man of the Match poll up, I thought everyone's going to vote Semenyo, but Zabanyi should be a close second. But I think Christie and maybe Kirk has come ahead of him. But I thought Zabanyi didn't do anything wrong all game. I thought he was mustard. I thought... He won some headers. He was good at coming out with the ball at times, which you got to remember, he's kind of, I feel like the first two games, he's been that deeper one. And Sinesi's been bringing it out.
Yeah.
And I felt like in this game, we let Zabanyi bring it out. And I think you forget how young he is as well. I think he's top drawer. And yeah, I think he went under the radar. That doesn't surprise me, actually. I said, bloody hell, why don't I say that? Can we come?
Does it worry you that, look, we're all pointing towards this one position, right? This Tyler Adams position.
Yeah.
Does it worry you a little bit? We've still got a lot of strong players on the pitch here, and we're all like, well, we've got Alex Scott out, we got Tyler Adams, but we can't play all of them.
No,
play one.
What I will say is, yes, obviously that's a key position, but it goes into a wider point, because if you don't, without having your midfielders there, you've got Rothwell playing in a role that he's not used to. Billing has to then go deeper, which he's not used to. Christie has always played wider for us, actually.
Yeah, and
he's now playing. So it's not just one, even though it is one position, it means that everything has to be a bit unbalanced.
Everything's out of joint because of
that. And then you can go deeper and go, when the centre halves get it, defensive midfield player knows where to be. Rothwell's kind of like, do I drop back here? Do I go forward? And then little runs off the shoulder, they're not used to it. And it then culminates into a lot of different things. And I think that's what's happening. And I want to make a point, though, whatever happens, Rothwell is to go into a role he's never played. He comes to us as a goal scoring midfielder.
Yeah.
And credit to him. I really hope that once we get, hopefully, Tyler Adams and he ends up being really good for us, I would love to see Rothwell playing essentially a little bit further. I'm not being funny. I know we've got loads of options there, but a double kind of pivot of Adams and Rothwell fit with Billing in front set sounds really good. But yeah, and I think at the end of the day, into the game and talking about that midfield area, before the game, if you'd seen the two lineups and you'd gone, right, guess the sort of match report of the game, I'd have gone, it's going to be, we're going to do all right, but Madison's going to have too much joy. He's going to be the difference because we haven't got the midfield and their best players playing in there.
Yeah.
So Madison will probably be the difference in this game. That's exactly what happened. I don't think it's, if you look at the two lineups, is it really surprising that James Madison had a lot of room? Do you know?
So much space.
It was the worst team to play when you haven't got a defensive midfield player because of the way Madison, and before the game, we thought he might be injured, and that, I'm not saying we would have won, but how much of a difference would that make? Yeah. He was, I'll tell you what, I'll make a point actually, from all the time we've been in the Premier League, one of the best I've seen live.
Wow.
One of the best I've seen live. And you've got loads, but I always thought, in that position as well, I always thought, you know, the David Silva had a few quality games, because obviously the broad.
One of the best that you've
honestly,
wow.
For Leicester, he didn't, because he actually set us up last season, didn't he?
Phil Bill.
And it's always harder when you're in a lesser team, no respect to Leicester. But that game, I thought, wow, he's just running this game. And there's, we've always been pretty decent when we've been in the Premier League, and there's never been, there's obviously a lot of quality players, as I mentioned, with De Bruyne and different people in the Hazard at times. But yeah, for me, he's up there. I thought he was unplayable.
Well, when you look at the heat maps, I mean, the centre of the pitch really was their hotspot. What was frustrating for us is that the only way we were getting any joy is when we go down the wings, whereas they were cutting down the core of the pitch, weren't they?
Yeah.
All of the time. And he, you know, he was pulling the strings. I think a number of their players, we could probably name most of them, but
yeah.
Spurs have got something this season. I don't think that, you know, they're not going to be challenging for the title.
No,
but
not going to be top four, don't they?
It must be exciting for their fans now to be watching, you know, 11 players that are giving it all and not having to rely on their main target man anymore. Who scored two for Bayern, but didn't he?
Yeah, he's really flat.
And also he missed a golden chance to score his hat trick as well.
I think there's definitely room for optimism. I think they'll keep their expectations pretty low and not start going, oh my God, can we win the league?
Yes.
That's when you start getting some problems. So I do think that it's mad, isn't it? They've lost an absolute goal machine and the replacement striker can't hit a barn door.
Mm.
But I feel like they'll score more goals this season. And that sounds mental, but that is what style that they can get goals from anywhere. And Richarlison will get a few. And I think they maybe before the end of the window might bring another body there. But Son will get goals. Kulusevski will get goals. Madison will clearly get goals. And as we saw in other games, that you have someone like Sarr can bomb on and get you a goal as well. I thought him and Bissouma were brilliant at just allowing Madison to do what he wanted because they were just perfect in their roles. And actually, as much as I felt, and we said before the game, that we might get in a little bit more, and as we talked about, we did have a few little moments like building up to the edge of the boxes and stuff. Van der Veen was solid.
Solanke didn't really get a look in during that
he's
game.
Got a lot of pace and he's good. And Adoghi, I think you mentioned him earlier, mate. Weirdly, I think we said that he's come from Udinese, who signed Zamora to replace him. Well,
yeah.
I think he's better than Zamora. Yeah. But yeah, he looks like a player. And it's probably going to be for them, which I'm sure they'll be aware of, the squad. Because I look at it, and there's no respect to these players. You go, Adoghi's out. You go, Ben Davies. And if one of them centre-halves is out, Davinson Sanchez, Eric Dier, I know they might get someone getting late, but that's the only thing for me. You will get injuries over the course of the season, but the style under Ange is just, it's weird how we all call him Ange, isn't it?
Although Dier, I've got to say, helped change the game. Well, I think him at Ed Core, when he came on in the home game last season, I think he actually just calmed things down.
Yeah, it's true.
Ed Core also was superb. Right, so look, it's frustrating, it's annoying, and look, a lot of Spurs fans, and thank you if you've subscribed or liked any of the videos over the weekend, but they were praising, like we've said, a lot of Bournemouth fans for their comments. So I haven't seen much of Twitter, Tom. Has anyone been losing their shit a little bit in terms of Andoni or AFC Bournemouth, or is everyone sort of have a little patience?
Yeah,
is everyone still okay?
I think from a Bournemouth fan perspective, I think so.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think you get the usual match. I don't know why I watch. Well, what I should do is mute it when they talk about Bournemouth for 4 seconds.
Oh, hang on. I saw a 30-second clip where he was looking at the amount of money that Bournemouth have spent.
Yeah, and then saying that
they're injured.
Yeah, and then it was more like how we've started and we could be in trouble for getting, you know, the fixtures we've had are a joke, by the way, unless they're going to come as well. But yeah, and I think it's easy for them to do it. Gary Neal, you know, credit to them, they got their first win, didn't they? So it's probably easier to do it. And yeah, listen, they're told to talk about us 20 seconds. They don't really know what's going on, do they? Yeah, they're not focusing on teams like Bournemouth on a match of the day. But
the Cherries fans were okay.
I
was there anyone losing?
I didn't see too much, I don't think. I think, yeah, there's certain bits and bobs. And there was as you mentioned at the top of the show, there's always a kind of debate when there's a change in the lineup. And I think a lot of people would debate. There's then pro Kelly, you know, some people saying, how's Kelly starting? He's rubbish. Some people saying Kelly's our best defender, he should be playing. And that's what's there for. It's all up for debate. And I think if you can make a case that Kelly's better than Szczesny, you can make a case the other way. I sit on the Szczesny side. Yeah. But, you know, I think we've got four really good centre-halves, actually. So
Brett Pittman versus Jan Kern, the different flavour again.
It's good to have them kind of headaches and problems. And, yeah, and I think it is what it is. We've got a good squad now, which is good, and we're going to get more players back. So, yeah, I think everyone's still a little bit. Stay calm. It'll be all right.
And also, when you check out the league table,
we are staying up.
We played West Ham in a Champions League spot, played Spurs in a Champions League spot, played Liverpool in a Champions League spot. So to put it into context, like it's not that we've played teams that seem to be in a pretty good vein, you know, rich vein of form at this point in time. West Ham especially, I think, have done great. And there's a lot of fans eating humble pie a little bit. Will that last? We don't know. But with James Ward-Prowse and stuff, you know,
having a good time, actually.
Yeah, they're looking all right. Spurs are looking good. And Liverpool, after their last gasp heroics at St James's Park.
Hello, mate.
We'll talk about that on the
podcast. They are better with 10 men, aren't they?
Yeah, they are better.
But yeah, I agree, mate. You look at them fixtures. At least we've only got Brentford, Chelsea, Brighton up next. So are we ever going to play anyone at the bottom half? I'm not sure. But yeah, it is what it is. You've got to play everyone twice, haven't you? But yeah, it's like you say, mate, I don't think we've been a million miles off it in all games. And the place we're in at the moment with, I think I've said this a few times, but you've got, and this is not meant with any sort of, I'm trying to have a dig or anything, but you're literally going from, too far back to say like Tyndall and Woodgate, but Parker and O'Neill, for example, the way they play, which to a degree both of them were successful at, is pragmatic, is a bit more, you know, let's pick our moments on the counter, but let's be hard to break down. And we're suddenly going the complete opposite. So to expect, and we've got about eight injuries. Yeah. So to expect that to just go, well, why haven't we beaten Tottenham and Liverpool? You know, it's calm down.
Yeah, yeah.
We're calm. Harry Barlow said it best.
Yeah, exactly.
Better patience. We'll be fine.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the players that are coming back. And, you know, there are some teams that do look in a worse position than us. It's funny, I was saying just off air, like on James Alcott's show with Flav, the Jaffan podcast, they were saying that each Premier League team has got their own kind of number of games they cannot win before fans can legitimately start having a pop. Well, obviously, with the top six sides, I think that number is naturally going to be smaller because of all the money and the expectation that comes with it and the huge fan base. For us, I'm not advocating this at all because we're nowhere near a position where that would be. Like, how long could we go without getting a win?
I mean, the media perception will be probably quite quick because they'll go, well, they got rid of O'Neill after teaming up, so they'll get rid of him. But I think from inside Bournemouth, if you've got a brain cell, you wouldn't think about it this season. If you're trying to do a project, I never understand not giving it a bloody season. But yeah, it's an interesting talk point because I was thinking that if that's going, should people be questioning Sean Dyche? But because he's Everton, Neville goes, oh, they're always a mess.
Yeah.
He kind of didn't get any pressure.
Yeah.
It is weird. I think you'll end up having a thing that's probably been against us in the past because we've got a few managers sacked by beating them. If you don't beat Luton, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think that's what'll end up happening. If a team don't beat Luton, he could lose his job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember us, I think we got Mourinho set. There was another Chelsea, might have been Sarri.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had that a few times. Gemma going, well, if you can't beat Bournemouth, you ain't good enough. So, yeah, interesting one, mate. But, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. Like you say, credit to Tottenham. They look very good. We just couldn't quite match it on the day. But I'm still happy enough. I think we'll be absolutely fine, mate. And, yeah, as you said, cheers to all the Tottenham fans for subscribing. And I'm really important because they're probably thinking they love the fan cams thing. Oh, they're talking about the game now. I wonder who Sam has on with him. Oh, it's the only one we didn't like on fan caps. So I apologise, and I'm sure you'll win something. If they win something, they're going to happen.
Yeah, meme it up. It's a busy old week for Back of the Net. Like we said, we're going to have an agenda show where we're taking a look at the press bits, but we'll only do it when it's a clear week. So it's after every home game, but there's a small matter of the Carabao Cup on Thursday. So Tuesday, we're going to be traveling to Swansea, and then there'll be a vlog on Wednesday. No fan cams, but we'll have our own reaction, I'm sure. And then we'll be beginning to into the preview stuff at Brentford. So busy old week for Back of the Net. Tom, it's been wonderful.
Been wonderful, mate. As I say, everyone, just stay calm. I'll tell you what, I fancy a cup run. So, you know, not far away, we'll be fine. I reckon, and we'll clip this one up, we got two games this week. We ain't losing.
There you go. Tom has said it. Whether you've been watching or listening, thanks very much for listening to Back of the Net. We'll see you soon. I'm Jerry's.
Bye.
Podcast Network.